Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. Why don't we begin this conversation about, do we have that ready for the persecuted church? I want to be able to. Okay. I don't see it anywhere. This is a tragic reality here that's going on, that 70 out of 100% of the persecuted church, 100% of religious persecution, I mean, it's taking place in the world, out of 100% of it, 75% is Christian. 75% is Christian. You got to hear this. Listen up.
Persecution takes different forms depending on the country and the culture where Christians live. In North Korea, if the government discovers that you're a Christian, you and your whole family can be put into a labor camp. In Pakistan, Christians are tolerated, but they have to be very careful about what they say. Simply defending your faith can lead to imprisonment and a possible death sentence. In Somalia, a Muslim who converts from Islam to Christianity can be killed. Gary Lane explains.
Worldwide, Christians pay a heavy price for following Christ. North Korea tops the country list each year as the worst persecutor of Christians. If discovered, North Korean believers are arrested, tortured, and killed for their faith. 33-year-old Kim Eun-jin is among the few Christians who have escaped the country to tell about their experience.
We met every Saturday evening. My family gathered in the back room of our small apartment. We had to be very quiet. We whispered when we prayed, sang songs, or read the Bible. We often covered our heads to muffle the noise.
But soon the authorities discovered that her father was a secret believer.
My father was a tailor in town, and the police suspected something was going on. We believed they planted listening devices in his shop and on his clothes.
In 1994, police raided the family's secret house church. They arrested Kim's father and her uncle. Both men probably ended up in one of the six labor camps dotting North Korea. Eric Foley is CEO of Seoul USA, a mission group helping North Korean Christians. He says if believers are released from prison, they face additional hardships.
That becomes the hardest time in their Christian life because they're back in the grind of life. And not only that, but they are tracked, they're traced, their relatives are watched, their phone calls are monitored.
And far from North Korea in the Islamic world, in Pakistan, Christians are denied the right to free speech. They even face imprisonment or possible death if they say something deemed offensive about Muhammad or Islam.
The whole Christian community can pray for Pakistan. And if you want to step forward and do something concrete, you can uplift Christian community here in Pakistan.
Many Christians over the past three decades have been falsely accused and imprisoned on charges of blasphemy. Pakistan's blasphemy law contains three main sections: blasphemy against Islam, the Muslim holy book, the Quran, and blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad. The maximum sentence for those found guilty of blaspheming the Quran is life imprisonment. The maximum penalty for those convicted of violating blasphemy against the Prophet Muhammad is death. No Christian has actually been executed for blaspheming Muhammad, but many like Asia Bibi have wasted away for years in prison, waiting for their cases to reach a higher court. That's when they're usually thrown out for a lack of evidence. Asia Bibi is a Christian mother who's been in prison now for nearly 4.5 years. She's confined to a small 8x10 prison cell near the Pakistan city of Faisalabad, awaiting possible death. Asia was arrested in June 2009 after an argument with her Muslim co-workers, who accused her of insulting the Prophet Muhammad. A local judge found Asia guilty and sentenced her to death by hanging. Her case is still on appeal. Those who speak out against the blasphemy laws pay a heavy price. Shahbaz Bhatti was a Christian and an official in the Pakistan government. He called for Asia Bibi's release and the repeal of Pakistan's blasphemy laws.
I believe in Jesus Christ, who who has given his own life for us. I know what is the meaning of cross, and I'm following of the cross, and I'm ready to die for a cause.
As he drove to work, radicals shot him to death in his car. A tide of Islamic extremism is spreading across Africa. Somalia is one of the most deadly places for Christians. The Al-Shabaab terror group wants to impose Sharia law on the Somali people. Its goal is to rid the country of all Christians. Muslim converts to Christianity are killed. This Al-Shabaab video swept the internet in September 2008. It shows the brutal beheading of 25-year-old aid worker Mansour Mohammed. He converted to Christianity in 2005. This Muslim convert to Christianity says he was awakened in his home by Al-Shabaab soldiers. We agreed to protect his identity and give him a different name, Abdi.
They ransacked my house, searched my bag, and found several pages from a Bible. They had crosses on them.
Abdi was taken away, imprisoned, and tortured.
I was blindfolded, and they put me in a dark, underground cell. They beat me up with a wooden baton. They wanted to know where I got the Bible pages, and if I knew of any others like me. When they finally took the blindfold off, I noticed three dead bodies in the room. They placed them there just to frighten me.
His torturers said they were going to kill him, but late one night, Abdi and two cellmates made a daring escape. Reunited with his family, Abdi is now living in a safe place. He says he still suffers physical pain from the torture he endured, and spiritually, he feels closer to God.
I was happy to go through all this because now I'm stronger spiritually. People prayed for me to escape. Their prayers are what saved my life.
So how should Christians worldwide pray during the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church?
We shouldn't pray for the persecuted church, but we should pray with the persecuted church. They don't pray to be released from persecution. They pray to be found faithful within it.
Gary Lane, CBN News.
Man, this is so amazing. Wow. That what's taking place. We'll talk more about this after this break, because this is our reality. If we do not turn, 75% of those being persecuted are Christians being beheaded, whispering prayers. We have to wake up, church in America. Out of 100% of the religious persecution that's taking place in the world today, 75% of them are Christians. I mean, you got to see this. If you got to see, go to VFNTV.com and click on the VFN torch and see it. If you didn't see it on Christian Television Network when we were showing it, he got beheaded. Mm. Joseph got beheaded for being a believer. They cut his head off. People are sneaking around, whispering their prayers, wondering if electronic bugs have been put up into their business. And all of a sudden, your father, in the business runner, is taken away and putting around in a work camp. Mm. Do you really think that this whole Lucifer tactics and this dark Alinsky model being pushed over America right now, as America pushes God, you know, away? Do you really think that that's not our outcome? Do you really believe that JJ, the Jews, and Jesus, the Christians, are not going to be persecuted? Do you really believe the frenzy, Saul, Saul, why are you organizing me? Well, if you have not heard that yet, do you really believe that's not what's about to happen? A frenzy break out against the church, yeah, and against the Jews? Do you really believe 75 out of 100%? And it's huge. I mean, here this young lady is. They're working, just doing their day-to-day life, and they come together to be able to worship God, and you have folks today, the 80-something percent, according to George Bond, and say the worship is about them. They don't like the beat of the song. They don't like the worship leader, or they got to have a worship leader, or they don't like the sound, or the air conditioner's not right, or the drive's too long, or he spoke too long, or he's not, you know. And it's like they're having to whisper their prayers because if somebody overhears them. First of all, I want to say, I'm not even worthy to stand in these guys' presence. That's what he says about the folks when he talks about the hall of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. It says the world was not even worthy of these who were cut in two, boiled in oil, hid in caves. Why? Because they're wanting to remain. Listen, the second you get make Jesus the Lord of your life, this is how you know. This is how you said you're wondering, like, am I saved or I'm not saved? Because at that moment, you became polarized. Mm. You don't need Alinsky to polarize you.
That's right.
You don't need Lucifer to organize you. You just have been organized into the light, and darkness that covers the earth and thick darkness that covers mankind will let you know that you're different now. Right. And people are like, well, I don't have my friends anymore. It's like, because you've been polarized and organized by the supreme organizer, Jesus Christ. And it, you know, there's an article, it's called The Supreme Organizer. Supreme Organizer. And that's Jesus. He is has supremacy over all. He is the creator over all. And so what happens is when we begin to stand up for God, understand that Lucifer gets nervous. And if you didn't hear Don't Be Deceived, Disciples Make Disciples by Francis Chan last week, week. And we're going to get a clip from that talking about the Great Awakening. He says, you know, give it 6 months. We want to get that so you can hear that continually. Yeah. Because who was the evangelist during the
Great Awakening? George Whitfield.
George Whitfield will say, okay, we're going to preach the gospel and give it 6 months to settle, and we'll come back and find out who actually. It's important.
Yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
I mean, even the vision that God gave me that I shared, you know, last week about children of the day and children of the night. And the truth is, you either are or you're not. It's not that complicated.
Yeah. That's right.
It's not that complicated.
Yeah. Steve Hill would often say that you judge a revival 10 years after the revival.
Yeah.
You know, 10 years after the revival, then you can look back and see what happened.
Yeah, most definitely. And I can definitely say that, you know, we're part of the fruit of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're definitely part of the fruit of that. And the Brownsville revival we're talking about, that God poured himself out at 3100 West DeSoto Street.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have Azusa Street, then you have 3100 West DeSoto Street.
That's right.
And
coast to coast.
Coast to coast, Pensacola, Florida. And so here we are. So I want to encourage you in understanding this, that right now, at this very moment, and if you haven't yet, go to special offers and get this offer. Any offer of just make an offer, doesn't matter. You can have this today. Is America Under God's Judgment? Go to VFNTV.com, click on special offer, and get it and listen to it. Because, you know, it's not too late for the church. It never is. I mean, in regards to God's kingdom is going to go. But it could be too late for America.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And because you're looking at, we're teetering between the second and third phase of God turning us over. And it's almost, I feel like, you know, going over, you know, if you're riding down the road and all of a sudden you go over this big, I feel like I was walking a plank, you know, off of a ship, and I ran out of plank about 12 months ago.
Yeah, really.
And I'm still walking as if I'm walking on the plank, which means the mercies of God is holding us up.
Yeah.
And but still, that means mercies of God is holding us up. He wants all men everywhere. And so it's a nation is a people. It's not a property. And so when the people get right, the property gets right, the land gets right. And there is a chance that even Nineveh turned, even by a message of a reluctant evangelist who was speaking to them. And that means we can turn. We can turn. But understand this, and imagine today's church. Imagine today's church being persecuted in America like we're seeing persecuted in the world.
Right.
We need God. We need to turn to the Lord. Just think about this. Taking a moment in time to pray for the persecuted church. Mm. Think about that. Yeah. Just praying for them. And lifting them up, understanding that, you know, whatever we do to the least of these of his, it's not, you know, a lot of people were out there trying to help people that said no to God. Mm-hmm. While people who said yes to God are being burned at the stake or being beheaded or starving. You know, they just said, no, I don't want anything. But there's a people that would just, you know, need help.
Yeah, no doubt.
And the persecuted church. And he says, so if. And the reason why we're talking about the persecuted church, and we want to encourage you, and one way to encourage you is to move outside of thinking so much about your day-to-day life, about you, and begin to bring in others who are in need in your life, and in your thought life, in your prayer life. You know, get past the prayers, you know, me, myself,
mm-hmm.
you know, stuff, things, and all that. Because I'm saying that because... That okay, we're talking about the church in America. If we're spending according to George Barna, these stats are $1.3 million per baptized believer, and we're only 5% of the world's population. So when you talk about religious persecution and 75% of those being Christians, What are we do? How are we helping them with that 1.3 million? I mean, think about it. Maybe you could send, you know, I don't know, 13 of them, 100 grand, or you could send, mm-hmm. you know, 26 of them, $50,000. I mean, because some of them are making $20 a month, if that,
yeah.
in the context of it, so they can actually survive in the context. And then we find out that, okay, so in the paradigm of that, we're also looking at, if you take the poorest person in America, and we're comparing the church in America with the church of the world,
mm-hmm.
the universal church, and understanding that most of us not in America, hello. And so, but yet, most of the wealth is in America.
Right.
Because if you take the poorest person in America, now this is the poorest person in America, in the American church, and just America in general, to say that they're even a Christian, the poorest person is richer than 80% of the 7 billion people on the face of the earth, which means the church in America has great wealth. Has great wealth is what that means. And it means this. Okay, so say you're not the poorest person in the world. Let's say you're the middle class. That means you're probably in the top 3% of the world's income. You are like the wealthiest top 3%.
Mm-hmm.
You know, think about that. If the poorest person's in the top 80%, then you know if you're in the middle class, what they call the middle class, is you're like in the top, probably the top 3%. You're talking about 7 billion folks, which means the predominant church in America who is spending $1.3 million per baptized believer, according to George Barna, is not only not praying for the persecuted church and not being there for them, not even winking at the fact that Pastor Saeed is in prison being beat along with many pastors across the world, that women are being raped and forced into Islam and forced into the Muslim beliefs, and Joseph and others are being beheaded, their heads are being cut off, removed from their body, while 97% of the American church, 97% are robbing from God. With the great wealth that we've been given, we're not even giving God his tithes and offerings. So not only are we not praying for those folks, not only are we not helping those folks, we're not even giving to God.
My goodness.
And we were thinking the answer is political. And it's like, this is what Jesus said, and this is why I'm saying this is so important, because he said, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do to me.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever you do not do for the persecuted me, the persecuted church, Saul, why are you persecuting me?
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. He says, you do not do for me.
That's right.
And they said, when did we see you persecuted?
Yeah.
When did we see you beheaded? When did we see you in prison? When did we see you thirsty?
Yeah.
When did we see you this? And he goes, hey, that was me. That was my body. That was me. And so think about the paradigm. Why do we even deserve to exist? Now, we can repent. The repentance is this. Quit robbing from God. First of all, find out where God wants you to be. Don't just be anywhere. Because in America, according to ABC News, you can see this on the VFN Torch, that there's atheists that are they're calling themselves pastors over thousands of folks. And why they got a black line across their eyes saying, I can't think of another job. You got to find a believer to be under.
I could think about 100 for them. You know?
Yeah, right. But the thing about it is, don't just—it's not a building; it's a people. So you know, when people have been with God, and if you know God, when you're with people who know God, your spirit just reaches out for them, and you got to follow the Spirit of God, and that's where you belong.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a place of your convenience; it's a place of God's call on your life. Even if you have to drive miles upon miles upon miles, my spiritual father, Brother John Kilpatrick, made a statement recently. And he said, you know what, if I wasn't a pastor, if I wasn't a minister, and I believe he's an apostle, that I would find a man of God, I would find a minister that was hears from God, unapologetically preaches the word of God, and I'd put my family up under that man of God, and I would stay there, and I'd plant myself, even if I had to move to a different, I would give up $25 an hour, $50 an hour in a job, and work for $10 an hour, or $15 an hour, or whatever it was, just so that I can actually have my family up under the word of God. And right now, there is so much false. You know, we talked about, you know, watch out for the flakes if you haven't seen that yet on the VFN Torch. And we're talking about a prophetic word given by Steve, given to, by the Lord to Steve Hill, called Avalanche, and it's all the false teachings. You got to find your place, and you got to get there. Even if you got to leave your state, even if you have to leave your county, even if you have to drive distances, even if it's not as pretty as a place that you would like to actually be at, even if they don't have a program for your toe and your finger and your elbow, you know, go where God's called you to be. That's where you belong. And then the Word of God cleanses you, and being preached in the fresh rhema of God inspires you. And you're aware. You're not panicky. You don't have to take all this stuff because you're panicky. You can just relax and know that, hey, God's in control. We hear from God.
Well, this goes back to giving the value of the voice of the Lord. You know, what are you valuing in your life? We were talking about that earlier, about abiding, you know.
That's exactly it. And the persecuted church, understanding that that means this: if we keep going the direction that we're going, you know, come outside of your technology for a little bit, walk through the streets and see how much persecution is going on in America. And anti-Semitism and religious persecution in America is on the rise. And if you'll listen to the voices and understand the mouth speaks from the overflow of the heart, where is all that venom coming from? Mm-hmm. It is a spirit speaking through folks that we're hearing the Lucifer voice, the Alinsky voice, saying, you know, I want to destroy you. I want to kill you. I want to put you in bondage. You're my problem. You're my innocence. Like, that's all of a sudden they blame the Jews for everything in Germany. How did that happen? It was a whole narrative that came out through the whole Lucifer techniques and tips. And that's what's happening right now in America. Mm-hmm. But understand, it's happening because the church has begun to walk in darkness. And so just out of selfishness alone, think about this. Repent. Do you really want to be in some labor camp?
Right.
Do you really want to be, you know, in whispering when you gather as you're hiding out somewhere to be able, because you can't have the First Amendment no more? Because you can't gather anymore. You can't assemble. You can't petition your government. You can't worship God freely. Is that what you really want? Do you want to creep around and, you know, and then just go, hey, you can't whisper Jesus' name? I don't know where the American religious paradigm fits in all that. But by the way, that's an awesome church that's willing to sneak around and do what they got to do to worship God and fellowship with each other, even in caves. And we actually have video of them meeting in caves on the VFN Torch. And their houses are being pushed over by because of ordinances in China, because a church had met in that house. And they said, this is farmland. You can't use it for a church. So they used the county. But an ordinance law to be able to push over that house. Don't think that that's not happening. If you haven't heard yet in regards to the Alinsky tactics, you need to hear it, because there's a reason why. What is the information czar that was on for a while that was part of the selection committee?
Cass Sunstein.
Cass Sunstein created all those ordinances now to be able to use at your whim as an executor of a country.
And there's so many of them now.
There's so many you can't even keep up with them. And so the thing is all we have to do is repent. And I've seen a harvest. The question is it going to come because of the crisis? Or is it going to come in lieu of the crisis?
Mm-hmm.
Or is it going to come simultaneously with the crisis? But in all of those statements, a crisis is there. And I just want to encourage you that how you can do that now is begin to pray for the persecuted church. Because you say, whatever you didn't do for the least of these of mine, if you have not even prayed for the 75%, of the religious persecuted in the church, which are Christians, they're on the news. The Christians, the oldest part of the Christian body in the world, I believe, is in Syria and Iraq. Maybe it's Iraq or Syria, in that area where it's like, they're saying, please pray for us. Mm. They're being forced into servitude. They're being forced into paying religious tariffs to Islam. And all these different things, and it's like, are we even thinking about them? They're being told you cannot come to America. We're not giving them asylum where they can fly in and be protected. It's just not pretty.
Wow,
it is not pretty. But understand this: when all this happens, if my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their land. Understand this. Pride is a terrible, terrible blinding thing. And if you have it, you can't see it. And all you got to do is look at the folks who know God and say, do I have pride in my life? Because right now, pride is walking us right into a huge fire.
Mm-hmm.
It's having us say things that we're going to totally regret when we stand before the altar of God. It's causing more and more dark damage to what God wants to do in his kingdom and in the kingdoms of this world, which bring light into the world. And so I just want to encourage you to pray for them, then find out what you can do for them. Begin to honor God with his tithes and offerings. Don't rob from him anymore. Begin to abide with God. Go to iabide.org. If you don't have a plan, get a simple plan. We have one for you. Request it. It comes to you right away as you request it. And you can begin right away abiding with God and begin to say, you know what, Jesus? I want to do you right. I don't want to stand before you as a goat and say, you know, where did we see you hungry? Where did we see you thirsty? Where did we see you in prison? When God's going to go, you never would even look at the news. You just looked at Hollywood and looked at movies and entertainment. And you looked at sports, but you didn't take the time to see over and over again that I had men and women stand up and said, Pastor Saeed is in prison in Iran being beat for being a believer, and all he was doing was bringing my light into Iran. And not once did you even pray for him once. Not once did you go find his wife and his kids and say, what can I do for you? Not once did you even think about the persecuted me.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think about it. When Jesus stopped Saul in his tracks when he was going to Damascus to persecute the church, he said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And that's what's happening. When we're seeing Joseph beheaded and we're seeing people oppressed, we're seeing people sneaking around, that's Jesus. That's how Jesus is being treated. We're the wealthiest, the richest, the most narcissistic. It's true.
Yeah.
And it's like, dear God, forgive us for the idolatry in our life. Forgive us for self-worship. Forgive us for loving ourselves more than we love you. God, help us to lay down our lives. Grace us, God, to once again return to our first love, you, and begin to spend time with you and know and abiding with you, fruit's going to come out of our life. And in that, you're going to tell us, hey, you know, go help in the Middle East. Go help in Egypt and North Africa. Go help in China. You know, maybe go to China. I don't know. But understand, we got to get up under Jesus Christ as the Lord of our life, and he's going to lead us into all truth for his name's sake. We're so excited to be able to tell you about our new expanded audience. We're going to give a big shout out and hello to the Emerald Coast, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida, as we're bringing in 1.4 million new viewers, because we are going to be on WHBR. That's right, the VFM radio program. Just that you're finally going to get a chance to be able to see us Monday through Friday at 2 p.m. Central Time. Of course, we're always going to be here on VFN Radio 24/7, live from 9 to 11 Central Time. But you're going to be able to see us on every day, that day, on WHBR. Find out your listings in the area. You can go to VFNTV.com to find out the times and locations for your area. But it's 2 p.m. Central Time, all the way from Mississippi to Destin, Florida. You'll be able to see us. VFN Radio taking place. We are so excited about it. You've just been listening to the highlights from the daily VFN Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com. VFN Radio is brought to you by friends like you and our underwriters. Find out more how you can join them by giving, or how you, your business, or ministry can become an underwriter at VFNTV.com.